But let's start with an unusual thing, a good news story out of Afghanistan. Earlier this year, the country's cricket team became only the 12th country ever accorded Test cricket status, which in sporting terms elevates the team to the most elite level. Why is that remarkable? Well, Afghanistan's first national cricket team only formed in 1995 against a background of constant conflict and poverty and displacement. There was no equipment, no coaches, no history of the game being played. Sport itself, all sport, had been officially banned by the Taliban. So how does Afghanistan come to be playing alongside cricketing giants like India and Australia? Osman Samiuddin, senior editor at Crick Info and author of The Unquiet Ones, A History of Pakistan Cricket, has been observing this story unfold over the last few years from Abu Dhabi, where he's based. Osman, welcome to Late Night Live.
Hi, thank you for having me, Richard.
So it's only the 12th country, Afghanistan, to be accorded test status. For non-cricketers listening, can you explain what that status actually means?
I think it's kind of the ultimate membership you can have as a cricket nation. You know, that there are 100-odd countries who are officially playing cricket, and they're members of the International Cricket Council, which is the body that kind of runs the sport. But only 12, and that includes England, Australia, and, you know, India, and all the big names you would have heard of on the cricket field, only 12 actually play the kind of what I guess cricket would call the highest form of its game. Which is the test game, you know, a 5-day game. So, and you know, countries have battled and fought hard to become test members, and it's taken them a lot of time. And Afghanistan have done it in possibly the shortest amount of time it's taken any country to become a kind of full member, accepted, you know, as an equal by the other 11 countries that play test cricket.
Right. Now, this is important for them. It's not just their prestige and the status. It brings money, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a massive thing. You know, it's, so, like you said, you know, they formed the first ever Afghan cricket board was formed in 95. They've actually been playing serious kind of cricket internationally probably since just the early 2000s, really. And they've worked their way up over those last 15 years. So they've survived mostly on money from the ICC, the governing body that I mentioned earlier. And now they're still going to mostly make their money from the ICC, but they're getting, you know, what you would think is fairly serious money for them, something to the tune of, I think, $90 million over the next 8 years, you know, broken down in annual handouts. So it means that effectively they can now survive and potentially thrive, and their cricketers can, you know, be professional sportsmen, because, you know, they had none of this. They've had none of this for the longest time that they've been playing. They've existed almost solely on just the passion of wanting to play cricket.
Now, how good until now? How good are they? Are they? Any kind of threat to one of the big nations?
I would say, okay, so, you know, you look at the different formats. I think test cricket, when, you know, they played their first test against India just a month ago in India, and they were, you know, shown up. I mean, India is the top test side in the world on the rankings, and they were playing at home, and they were badly shown up. They lost in just a couple of days. But, you know, when you look at the shorter games, and that's, I think, where they are particularly adept, the 50-over game, the 20-over game, In those formats, they've been performing against big sides. You know, they've beaten Bangladesh, they've beaten other big sides pretty much across the world for a long time now. And they're acknowledged as a solid team that, you know, that will continue to kind of improve. So I think a lot of countries do look at them as a threat. And they're certainly, you know, the best from kind of the second tier countries of cricket, the associate members, we call, you know, ahead of the likes of, I would think, Ireland and Nepal and a lot of these other countries that are kind of, you know, not fully full members yet. But so, you know, they're good, but I think it would be the shorter formats where you would expect them to do much more than the longer one.
It seems strange that there's been no real history of cricket in Afghanistan, because it's right next, jammed up against Pakistan, so close to India, where cricket's so important. Why wasn't it there?
It's, you know, it's bizarre. So if you look at the earliest kind of recorded history of the sport there, you'll find that, you know, when the British were there, they would occasionally have games, but effectively there was nothing there. And I think part of it was just because of the kind of geopolitical situation in Afghanistan for so long, you know, in 79 when the Russians, kind of the Soviet Union, invaded and took over the country, and then the whole battle for that part of the world started between the USSR and the US. I think, you know, there was no thought really given to sports. They had a couple of their own sports. Which is similar to polo, but it's played with a goat's head instead of a ball, and that's like an ancient sport. But I just don't think they had kind of the nature of a functioning country where you could concentrate and develop sport and allow sport to develop. I just don't think they've had that situation for much of the last 40 years.
So
it never really took off. Yeah.
But eventually it gets there. How did that happen at all? Because as you've just been explaining, I've been thinking, well, how did it get there at all?
Well, so this is where the story becomes pretty remarkable. So, like you said, that Afghanistan neighbors Pakistan, and there is a border between the two countries, but it's a fairly arbitrary border. It's that kind of line in the sand drawn by colonial forces back in the day of British rule, the Durand line. And what it's done is it's basically divided into two countries. This one ethnic kind of ethnicity, the Pashtun people, the Pathans, who you might know, who are on either side of the border. So when Afghanistan was facing this domestic turmoil, a lot of people from Afghanistan fled to Pakistan as refugees. Now it so happened that a lot of them were in refugee camps in Peshawar, which is closest to the border with Afghanistan, and this is around, I would say, probably around the mid-90s, mid-90s, around that time. And so one of the biggest names in Afghanistan cricket, Mohammad Nabi, who's been a captain as well, still playing, him and a lot of other kids at the time, effectively, they started playing cricket in the refugee camps in Peshawar because, cricket was a massive sport in Pakistan. They saw it, they watched it on TV, they saw stars around them and stuff. And so they started playing cricket in refugee camps there. And so whenever they would then go back after that, they would start playing cricket in Afghanistan. And when they finally went back after the fall of the Taliban in 2001, they went back for good, and they effectively took the game back with them. So a lot of the game that they learned was actually, and it's evident in the way they play. There's a huge Pakistani flavor to the way they play the game, and it's come from the fact that a lot of that first generation of Afghanistan national cricketers had grown up and learned the game in refugee camps in Pakistan.
That makes me think fast bowling, wrist spin, and very wristy batsman, actually.
And you have described the Afghanistan cricket team down to a T. They've got fast bowlers. They've got probably top two leg spinners in the world right now in Rashid Khan. And they've got batsmen like Mohammad Shahzad, who, hell for leather. They go out there, they don't have a care in the world, and they want to hit every ball for six. That's Afghanistan cricket down to a T, essentially.
But when they started, and as you've just been describing it, they faced pretty much every challenge there was. I mean, there was no money, and there was no equipment, and there was nobody to coach them who really knew anything about the game.
Yeah, absolutely. What they've come through is remarkable. So when they first began, there's a wonderful documentary out on their rise, came out a few years ago, called Out of the Ashes. It's a BBC documentary, followed them around as they went to the first world major tournament. And it shows you just how little they had at the time. They obviously didn't have any stadiums. They had literally just these guys who had grown up playing, and there was a fair number of them that had grown up playing in refugee camps in Pakistan, and they've slowly built from there. So they've had wonderful stories along the way. I think U.S. forces and the U.S. government helped them build a stadium in Kabul, and they would get enough funding from the ICC over the years. Once they became an official cricket board and federation, they received enough funding from the ICC to kind of just keep them going and just keep a kind of core group of players involved. Over time, they had just about enough facilities to kind of just maintain this. And the rest of it, like I said earlier, at the top, was it was just their kind of passion that drove them. They just wanted to play this game, and they kept at it. And they had a whole ragtag bunch of characters who, some of them had never seen cricket before, and yet they became coaches of the national side. They became heads of the cricket board and stuff. So it truly is, it's probably the most remarkable story in cricket out there.
One of the challenges that they have, of course, is that the team can't play matches at home because it's too dangerous. Where do they play?
So they divide their time. They play some of their home matches in India, and they play some of their home matches in the UAE, which is also, funnily enough, in fact, where Pakistan, who are also kind of similarly not able to play matches at home. So Pakistan play a lot of their matches in the UAE as well. But it's Afghanistan is basically divided between the UAE and India.
What kind of relationship Is there a relationship between the Afghanistan team and Pakistan's team?
Yeah, it's a troubled and complicated one. It's very similar to how the relationship between the two countries, and it mirrors whatever the political situation is between the two countries. It's mirrored that. So earlier on, when Afghanistan had Taliban rule, and before that, even before that, when the country was at war, essentially Pakistan was an ally and it was a supporter. So early on in their rise in the 2000s, after the Taliban left, Pakistan played a major role. They would host teams from Afghanistan to come over and play in their domestic competitions. They would put the players up at their camps. They would bring them over to the National Cricket Academy, give them coaching, fund, help them with money every now and again. They really played a huge role in those early years. I would say in the early 2000s, they played a huge role in how the Afghanistan team developed. But as relations have soured between the two countries, there's an ongoing issue with Afghanistan accusing Pakistan of supporting the Taliban in Afghanistan. Pakistan, we know, Afghanistan is part of the strategic depth that Pakistanis keep talking about. They want to have influence in Afghanistan as a buffer against India. And so as that has worsened, so ties now between the two boards at least are soured. And officially, Afghanistan players will say that we're not really going to sort of give so much gratitude to Pakistan officially and publicly. And so India has kind of crept into this little vacuum now, and they have strong ties with Afghanistan. They've now offered them a home in India where they can go and play. They played the first test that Afghanistan ever played. It's become very much part of the whole geopolitical triangle that is, India, Pakistan, and Afghanistan.
Well, it's still a remarkable story, and I very much appreciate you coming on to tell us about it. Thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
That's Osman Samuddin, who's a senior editor with Crick Info, which is really the cricket fan's Bible, I have to say, if you want your up-to-date information. This is Late Night Live. Coming up, can you be an ethical spy?